Blog Talk Radio.
The true motive in service, take heed that ye do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them. The words of Christ on the Mount were an expression of that which had been the unspoken teaching of his life, but which the people had failed to comprehend. They could not understand how, having such great power, he neglected to use it in securing what they regarded as the chief good. Their spirit and motives and methods were the opposite of his. While they claimed to be very jealous for the honor of the law, self-glory was the real object which they sought, and Christ would make it manifest to them that the lover of self is a transgressor of the law. But the principles cherished by the Pharisees are such as are characteristic of humanity in all ages. The spirit of Phariseeism is the spirit of human nature. And as the Savior showed the contrast between his own spirit and methods and those of the rabbis, his teaching is equally applicable to the people of all time. In the days of Christ, the Pharisees were continually trying to earn the favor of heaven in order to secure the worldly honor and prosperity which they regarded as a reward of virtue. At the same time, they paraded their acts of charity before the people in order to attract their attention and gain a reputation for sanctity. Jesus rebuked their ostentation, declaring that God does not recognize such service, and that the flattery and admiration of the people which they so eagerly sought was the only reward they would ever receive. When thou doest alms, he said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. In these words, Jesus does not teach that acts of kindness should always be kept secret. Paul the Apostle, writing by the Holy Spirit, did not conceal the generous self-sacrifice of the Macedonian Christians, but told of the grace that Christ had wrought in them, and thus others were imbued with the same spirit. He also wrote to the church at Corinth and said, your zeal hath stirred up very many. Christ's own words should make his meaning plain, that in acts of charity the aim should not be to secure praise and honor from men. Real godliness never prompts an effort at display. Those who desire words of praise and flattery and feed upon them as a sweet morsel are Christians in name only. By their good works, Christ's followers are to bring glory not to themselves, but to him through whose grace and power they have wrought. It is through the Holy Spirit that every good work is accomplished, and the Spirit is given to glorify not the receiver, but the giver. When the light of Christ is shining in the soul, the lips will be filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. Your prayers, your performance of duty, your benevolence, your self-denial will not be the theme of your thought or conversation. Jesus will be magnified, self will be hidden, and Christ will appear as all in all. We are to give in sincerity, not to make a show of our good deeds, but from pity and love to the suffering ones. Sincerity of purpose, real kindness of heart, is a motive that heaven values. The soul that is sincere in its love, wholehearted in its devotion, God regards as more precious than the golden wedge of Ophir. His, not mine, are the gifts, and only so far can I make them mine, as in giving I add my heart to whatever is given. We are not to think of reward, but of service. Yet kindness shown in this spirit will not fail of its recompense. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. While it is true that God himself is a great reward that embraces every other, the soul receives and enjoys him only as it becomes assimilated to him in character. Only like can appreciate like. It is as we give ourselves to God for the service of humanity that he gives himself to us. No one can give place in his own heart and life for the stream of God's blessing to flow to others without receiving in himself a rich reward. The hillsides and plains that furnish a channel for the mountain streams to reach the sea suffer no loss thereby. That which they give is repaid 100-fold, for the stream that goes singing on its way leaves behind its gift of verdure and fruitfulness. The grass on its banks is a fresher green, the trees have a richer verdure, the flowers are more abundant. When the earth lies bare and brown under the summer's parching heat, a line of verdure marks the river's course, and the plain that opened her bosom to bear the mountain's treasure to the sea is clothed with freshness and beauty, a witness to the recompense that God's grace imparts to all who give themselves as a channel for its outflow to the world. This is the blessing of those who show mercy to the poor. The prophet Isaiah says, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." The work of beneficence is twice blessed. While he that gives to the needy blesses others, he himself is blessed in a still greater degree. The grace of Christ in the soul is developing traits of character that are the opposite of selfishness, traits that will refine, ennoble, and enrich the life. Acts of kindness performed in secret will bind hearts together and will draw them closer to the heart of him from whom every generous impulse springs. The little attentions, the small acts of love and self-sacrifice that flow out from the life as quietly as the fragrance from a flower, these constitute no small share of the blessings and happiness of life. And it will be found at last that the denial of self for the good and happiness of others, however humble and uncommended here, is recognized in heaven as the token of our union with him, the King of Glory, who was rich yet for our sakes became poor. The deeds of kindness may have been done in secret, but the result upon the character of the doer cannot be hidden. If we work with wholehearted interest as a follower of Christ, the heart will be in close sympathy with God, and the Spirit of God moving upon our spirit will call forth the sacred harmonies of the soul in answer to the divine touch. He who gives increased talents to those who have made a wise improvement of the gifts entrusted to them is pleased to acknowledge the service of his believing people in the Beloved, through whose grace and strength they have wrought. Those who have sought for the development and perfection of Christian character by exercising their faculties in good works will, in the world to come, reap that which they have sown. The work begun upon earth will reach its consummation in that higher and holier life to endure throughout eternity. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. The Pharisees had stated hours for prayer, and when, as often came to pass, they were abroad at the appointed time, they would pause wherever they might be, perhaps in the street or the marketplace, amid the hurrying throngs of men, and there in a loud voice rehearse their formal prayers. Such worship, offered merely for self-glorification, called forth unsparing rebuke from Jesus. He did not, however, discountenance public prayer, for he himself prayed with his disciples and in the presence of the multitude. But he teaches that private prayer is not to be made public. In secret devotion, our prayers are to reach the ears of none but the prayer-hearing God. No curious ear is to receive the burden of such petitions. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Have a place for secret prayer. Jesus had select places for communion with God, and so should we. We need often to retire to some spot, however humble, where we can be alone with God. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. In the name of Jesus we may come into God's presence with the confidence of a child. No man is needed to act as a mediator. Through Jesus we may open our hearts to God as to one who knows and loves us. In the secret place of prayer, where no eye but God's can see, no ear but His can hear, we may pour out our most hidden desires and longings to the Father of infinite pity, and in the hush and silence of the soul, that voice which never fails to answer the cry of human need will speak to our hearts. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. He waits with unwearied love to hear the confessions of the wayward and to accept their penitence. He watches for some return of gratitude from us as a mother watches for the smile of recognition from her beloved child. He would have us understand how earnestly and tenderly His heart yearns over us. He invites us to take our trials to His sympathy, our sorrows to His love, our wounds to His healing, our weakness to His strength, our emptiness to His fullness. Never has one been disappointed who came unto Him. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. O dull of heart, enclosed doth lie in each, come Lord, a here am I. Thy love, thy longings are not thine, reflections of a love divine. Thy very prayer to thee was given, itself a messenger from heaven. Those who seek God in secret, telling the Lord their needs and pleading for help, will not plead in vain. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. As we make Christ our daily companion, we shall feel that the powers of an unseen world are all around us, and by looking unto Jesus we shall become assimilated to His image. By beholding we become changed. The character is softened, refined, and ennobled for the heavenly kingdom. The sure result of our intercourse and fellowship with our Lord will be to increase piety, purity, and fervor. There will be a growing intelligence in prayer. We are receiving a divine education, and this is illustrated in a life of diligence and zeal. The soul that turns to God for its help, its support, its power, by daily earnest prayer, will have noble aspirations, clear perceptions of truth and duty, lofty purposes of action, and a continual hungering and thirsting after righteousness. By maintaining a connection with God, we shall be enabled to diffuse to others through our association with them the light, the peace, the serenity that rule in our hearts. The strength acquired in prayer to God, united with persevering effort in training the mind in thoughtfulness and caretaking, prepares one for daily duties and keeps the spirit in peace under all circumstances. If we draw near to God, He will put a word in our mouth to speak for Him, even praise unto His name. He will teach us a strain from the song of the angels, even thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. In every act of life, the light and love of an indwelling Savior will be revealed. outward troubles cannot reach the life that is lived by faith in the Son of God. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. The heathen looked upon their prayers as having in themselves merit to atone for sin. Hence the longer the prayer, the greater the merit. If they could become holy by their own efforts, they would have something in themselves in which to rejoice, some ground for boasting. This idea of prayer is an outworking of the principle of self-expiation, which lies at the foundation of all systems of false religion. The Pharisees had adopted this pagan idea of prayer, and it is by no means extinct in our day, even among those who profess to be Christians. The repetition of set customary phrases when the heart feels no need of God is of the same character as the vain repetitions of the heathen. Prayer is not an expiation for sin. It has no virtue or merit of itself. All the flowery words at our command is not equivalent to one holy desire. The most eloquent prayers are but idle words if they do not express the true sentiments of the heart. But the prayer that comes from an earnest heart when the simple wants of the soul are expressed, as we would ask an earthly friend for a favor, expecting it to be granted, this is the prayer of faith. God does not desire our ceremonial compliments, but the unspoken cry of the broken heart, and subdued with a sense of its sin and utter weakness, finds its way to the Father of all mercy. When ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. The fasting which the Word of God enjoins is something more than a form. It does not consist merely in refusing food, in wearing sackcloth, in sprinkling ashes upon the head. He who fasts in real sorrow for sin will never court display. The object of the fast which God calls upon us to keep is not to afflict the body for the sin of the soul, but to aid us in perceiving the grievous character of sin, in humbling the heart before God, and receiving His pardoning grace. His command to Israel was, "Rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God." It will avail nothing for us to do penance or to flatter ourselves that by our own works we shall merit or purchase an inheritance among the saints. When the question was asked Christ, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" He answered, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He has sent." Repentance is turning from self to Christ. And when we receive Christ, so that through faith He can live His life in us, good works will be manifest. Jesus said, "When thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret." Whatever is done to the glory of God is to be done with cheerfulness, not with sadness and gloom. There is nothing gloomy in the religion of Jesus. If Christians give the impression by a mournful attitude that they have been disappointed in their Lord, they misrepresent His character and put arguments into the mouth of His enemies. Though in words they may claim God as their Father, yet in gloom and sorrow they present to the world the aspect of orphans. Christ desires us to make His service appear attractive as it really is. Let the self-denials and the secret heart trials be revealed to the compassionate Savior. Let the burdens be left at the foot of the cross, and go on your way rejoicing in His love who first loved you. Men may never know of the work going on secretly between the soul and God, but the result of the Spirit's work upon the heart will be manifest to all. For he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Treasures laid up on earth will not endure. Thieves break through and steal. Moth and rust corrupt. Fire and storm sweep away your possessions. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasure laid up on earth will engross the mind to the exclusion of heavenly things. The love of money was the ruling passion in the Jewish age. Worldliness usurped the place of God and religion in the soul. So it is now. Avaricious greed for wealth exerts such a fascinating, bewitching influence over the life that it results in perverting the nobility and corrupting the humanity of men until they are drowned in perdition. The service of Satan is full of care, perplexity, and wearing labor, and the treasure men toil to accumulate on earth is only for a season. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there..."
Amen. What a beautiful song. Days dying in the West. Heaven and earth is truly praising him. And we ought to be praising the Lord also. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for your holy Sabbath day of rest, Lord. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins, our trespasses, Lord, our iniquity, O Father. Have mercy upon us, sinful creature, that you have made in your likeness, Lord. But you died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You died to save us, O Lord, from this sin-sick, polluted world. Heavenly Father, you died for each and every one of us. You said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Lord." The yoke was upon our backs this week, O Father, and we're coming unto you for rest. We're coming unto you for counsel, for love, O Lord. We're coming unto you to hear your still voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We're coming unto you, O Lord, for grace and for mercy. Lord, we just thank you ever so much because we know that you will supply all our needs according to your riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that you will not give us that is of a benefit to us, O Father, in helping us and helping mankind. So we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for being the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, God of heaven and earth and all therein. You have made everything for your purpose, O Lord. And we only can truly give back what is truly yours, Lord. And we give ourselves, Lord. We give our mind, our body, our soul to you, O Father. We ask that you will renew it. We ask that you will cleanse it from all unrighteousness, Lord. We present the children, O Father. We present our loved ones, those with grandchildren. We present our neighbors. We present our coworkers, clients. We present all those that we have came in contact with this week and all the prayer lines and all the different ministry, Lord. We present them before you, O Lord, that you will hear the prayers, O Father, and answer them accordingly. The missionary, Lord, those that are hurting, those that are crying out in Ukraine and Africa and these war-torn countries, O Father, those that are sick in sin, those that are sick, O Father, with disease, O Lord, they're crying out to you, Lord, please give them relief, O Father. I pray that they will be convicted and converted and turn from their wicked ways to serve you, which is the true God, the only God. And we just thank you for being in the midst of us. We ask that you will bless us more and abundantly than we can ever ask. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be with us, O Lord. We ask that you will bless each and every one of us, the hearer and the receive, those that are speaking, O Father. We ask that we will come and testify of your goodness, your mercy, and your love, Lord. We thank you again. We praise you. We glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, again, happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. I just want to welcome you this evening. Happy Sabbath. Please press 1 so that you can share your testimony, and I'll do a quick reading from Great Controversy. I'm sorry, Child Guidance, 536.2, Child Guidance. The Sabbath should be made so interested to our families that its weekly return will be hailed with joy. In no better way can parents exalt and honor the Sabbath than by devising means to impart proper instruction to their families and interesting them in spiritual things, giving them correct view of the character of God and what he requires of us in order to perfect Christian character, amen, and attain to external life. Parents, make the Sabbath a delight that your children may look forward to it and have a welcome in their heart for it. Fitting climax in prayer and song. As the sun goes down, let the voice of prayer and the hymns of praise mark the close of the sacred hour and invite God's present thoughts and care of the week of labor. Thus, parents can make the Sabbath as it should be, the most joyful day of the week. They can lead their children to regard it as a sake, as a delight, the day of day, the holy of the Lord, honorable. And that also, Child Guidance 537.1 and testimony for the church 3:5-9. Amen. So the Sabbath should be a delight for children and parents, and we know all that is within thy gate. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the line for the first caller that has pressed 1. Again, please press 1 if you would like to share at this time. It's sharing time, brothers and sisters. We want to talk of the goodness of God and share what the Lord has done for us and present our prayer requests and offer up prayers and also songs of meditation, giving honor and glory to God. 225-337, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath, my sister and my daughter. I just want to give thanks to the Lord. I'm so happy to be here on the prayer line. I would like to sing. I'm gonna make it short, Sister Carla. And I like to sing Holy Day, Jehovah Rest, but I like to just read. Let me see. I had my scripture. I have Psalms 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deed among the people. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek him. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. I'm going to stop there. And I would like to share Holy Day, Jehovah Rest, by God's grace. Holy Day, Jehovah Rest, of creation we eat the best. Last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God, 'twas man was given. Welcome. Glad we held his presence, blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah Rest. First his 6-day work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the 7 day, thus in rest and we obey. Welcome. Glad we held his presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah Rest. 1,000 hath his plan reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you should know, there's no scriptures tell them so. All who speak the truth must say, it was man who changed the day. In God's word no change appear through the whole 6,000 years. Thus I searched and when I saw only one great Sabbath law. Then I hastened to obey, plainly 'twas the only way. Welcome, glad we held his presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah Rest. So I just want to thank God for his Sabbath and his Sabbath coming in. And now we are resting our mind and we can focus on the Lord and worship tonight. Thank you. I love you. God bless. And everybody, happy Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola. Happy Sabbath. Thank you for that song. May the Lord truly continue to bless you and strengthen you and keep you according to his will, and also your husband and your family. Thank you again for joining us, and thank you for the song. Thank you for your presence. Amen. Is there anyone else who will like to share, please press 1 so that I can open your line. Again, brothers and sisters, happy Sabbath. It's truly a blessing to come together to worship the Lord with spirit and in truth. I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-951. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. God is so good. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. I just want to give God thanks. You hear some sound? You hearing me, Sister Carla? Sister Carla, you hearing me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, I am here. We are hearing you. Thank you.
Yes, I heard some sound, so I kind of stop. Right? Yes. I just want to give God thanks that He carry us safely through another week. He is so good, my dear. We have some snow here today's morning. You know, the whole place was covered with snow, but God is so good, my dear sister. It be before 12 o'clock, we had some sunshine. So we had a lot of snow was actually melted. You know, God knows definitely what his children need. So I just thank God for that. But the snow looked very, very wonderful. White, it's white like lily. You know, and I just have to say that when God cover us with his robe of righteousness, what a glory that will be. You know, God is so good, my dear. I will just sing this little song here, my dear sister. Oh, day of rest and gladness. Oh, day of joy and light. Oh, balm of care and sadness. Most beautiful, most bright. On thee, the high and lowly, who bend before the throne. Sing holy, holy, holy to the eternal one. Thou art a port protected from storms that round us ride. A garden intersected with streams of paradise. Thou art a cooling fountain in life's dear, dearly sand. From thee, like pilgrims mounting, we view our promised land. A day of sweet reflection, thou art a day of love. A day to raise affection from heart to things above. New grace is ever gaining from this our day of rest. We seek the rest remaining in mansions of the blessed. Praise the Lord. God is so good, my dear sister. New grace ever gaining from this our day of rest. We seek the rest remaining in mansion of the blessed. As he said, he have gone to prepare a place for us, and he will come again to receive us, that where we are, he will be with us. He also is going to make a mansion, to build a mansion for us, my dear sister and brother. So let us strive to be the master. Let us strive to be with him on that great and glorious day when he shall come for us. Thank you, Sister Carla. Happy Sabbath again, my dear beloved.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Another beautiful song. Thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing, and thank you for that song, A Day of Rest and Gladness. Praise the Lord. What a joyful time it will be for us to be with our Lord, see him face to face, and just to sing and to be together with him. What a joyous time that will be. We have to purpose in our hearts to be there. Let not or no one hold us back from this great promise that the Lord has given to each and every one of us. Let's purpose in our hearts that we will not miss out on heaven and all the joy, but most of all is seeing our Lord, seeing our Savior, our Creator. As a child, you know, they see their mom and their dad and they know the voice, and it is just a special feeling, a connection, and that's what we will have with our Savior, just a special connection and bond. So just praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen, amen. Please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, or a song of meditation so that you can share at this time, brothers and sisters. Let us praise the Lord in spirit and in truth, and let us, you know, lift up his name and tell him how good he is and tell others what the Lord has done and glorify him. Amen. So I'll go to the next caller, 518. 744, happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Oh, praise the Lord. Got the sisters singing songs, and what a way to bring in the Sabbath. You know, just blessed to be here on the prayer line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann. And I just listened to Sister Powell talking about the snow. We got about 5 inches of snow. Didn't get a lot of snow. I was actually hoping for more so I could go snowshoeing tomorrow, and there's really not barely enough to even do anything with. But you know what? God is good. I had to get up early and take my wife to work and drive around in the snow, and you know, it was so beautiful out. Everything was so white and clean, and just reminds me of what Jesus wants to do with our lives. He wants to make us white as snow, he says in the scriptures. And I was just watching it snow all day long as I was working. I was inside. It was warm, and it was cold and snowy outside. It was just beautiful. So praising the Lord for the beauty that he gives us, you know. And I was just, my wife mentioned to us as we are done with our worship here just a little bit earlier about all the folks over in Ukraine, all the things going on there. I don't know exactly what's going on there at the moment, but I know fighting has broken out between Russia and Ukraine. And I just saw a little post on Facebook that there are over 46,000 Seventh-day Adventists in the Ukraine, church members, so we need to be keeping them in prayer and, you know, lifting them up, because it is winter there, too. It is cold and snowy there. I can't imagine having to leave my home in the middle of the winter, going where I, you know, not knowing where you're going to be going. And it just it breaks my heart to see people having to do that. And I know Jesus is weeping in heaven when these things happen, too. So we got to keep these folks in our prayers. Lift them up to the Lord, and he will, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so he will not forsake them, but sometimes in our humanness, we don't feel God around next to us, and so with the prayers going up, we can lift these people up. And last night, sister, we were having worship, and I came across a text that I wanted to share with everybody. And I was actually reading in Proverbs, and this one came to me here, Proverbs 21, verse 21. He that follows after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And, you know, we talk about righteousness much on the prayer line, and righteousness is right doing. So he that is wanting, he who is trusting in Christ to give him that right doing, that righteousness, and that mercy towards others, findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And, you know, God is just waiting for us to come to him and ask him to give us these things. And when we do, he will give them to us, and we get the reward. It's it's hard to imagine how good God is to us, because he loved us first. He loved us while we were yet sinners. He died to save us. He sent his Holy Spirit to woo us to him. And then when we do come to him, he gives us gifts. He gives us life, righteousness, and honor. And I mean, what an awesome God we serve. And I just want to just praise him for that, sister. I just want to say a quick prayer for the believers over in Ukraine and also for our prayer line. I'll just take a moment to do that. Lord, we come before you this Sabbath evening, Lord, this Friday night, as the Sabbath has begun, Lord. And, oh, Lord, your Holy Spirit has drawn us to this prayer line, and we hear the testimonies, the praises, the songs, Lord, and it just strengthens our heart. It wants us to, it helps us to want to keep following you and to do right doing, as you said, righteousness in your word, Lord. And Father, we thank you for allowing us to come to you. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to build us up, to give us that faith that we need to make it through these trying days, Lord. Father, the days that we see now are trying at times, but Lord, that we know that there are times coming when our faith will be tested severely, Lord. And, oh, Lord, we just need you to continue to work in our lives so that that faith will be strong, that nothing will be able to shake the faith that you give us. Oh, Father, I think of the believers over in the Ukraine, all the folks in the Ukraine, Lord, whether they're believers or not, Lord, they're having to flee for their lives, who are in danger of being harmed or even killed, Lord, and we just lift them up to you, Lord. Just ask that your Holy Spirit will be close to them, Lord. Give them strength, give them faith, give them peace, even in a hard time, knowing that you will take care of them, Lord. You have not promised us a great things here on this earth, Lord, but you have promised us eternal life with you in a perfect place, Lord. So, Lord, we are looking to that. We are hanging on to that, Lord. We're just eager to partake of that, Lord, that eternal life that you have for us, Lord. You said, I have not seen nor ear heard of the things that you have prepared for us, Lord. We can't even imagine. And Lord, we just praise you. We lift up your name. We just thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace to us, your goodness. And Lord, for the spirit that allows us to overcome temptation and sin, Lord. Please build us up, Lord. Forgive our sins, O Lord. And as we are tempted, Lord, may we call on you so that you can give us the strength to overcome. You said that we could be more than conquerors through you. So, Lord, we are trusting in that tonight. We just lift up this prayer line. Sister Carla, as she is hosting, Lord, we heard Sister Powell and Sister Leola sing songs. We just praise you for that. Be with them and their families. Each one of the people that are listening tonight, Lord, we just lift them up to you. And thank you that they have joined. They could receive a blessing. And as they receive that blessing, Lord, that they could partake of that blessing and then share that with others, Lord. That is your goal for us, is to share your good news with others, Lord. So give us the strength and the opportunity to witness to others, Lord, and just point them to you. We thank you, and we praise you, Lord, for this prayer line that has helped us so much, that has built up our faith, that has kept us strong even when things are starting to crumble around us, Lord. Thank you now. We love you. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I just want to lift up my family to the Lord and ask for a prayer for each one of my family members. I have a number of children that are not attending church, that don't profess to be followers of Christ. And then I have some that do profess to be followers, and, you know, by the way that they act, I can tell that the Lord has not taken full control of them, and I just want him to take full control of their lives and mine also. I want my life to continue to be a blessing to others, not just lived for myself, but a blessing to others. So thank you, Sister Folk, in that line.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. Good to hear you. Hear your voice, and thank you for joining us. Thank you for the prayer, and we will keep your family in prayer. I know we all, you know, have family member ourselves are battling things, you know, but the Lord said his grace is sufficient for us, so we will keep your children, your household as a whole in prayer, that the Lord's will would be done, and, you know, that they will be converted, they will be convicted, converted, and they will repent of their sins. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. Amen. Again, brothers and sisters, please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, so that I can open your line. Happy Sabbath. It's truly a blessing to come and join together on this holy Sabbath day to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I'll go ahead and open the line for 985-232. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Hubble, Louisiana. You have to excuse me. I have habit of sinus attacks and just keep me in prayer. It's just got me one little weather. I thank God for watching over us and making us up. And I just thank him for goodness and mercy that kept us together and keeping us in contact for his goodness and studying his word. I just want to read a prayer. Hold on a minute. Well, now we do it. God, got me on guard. Nevertheless, trying to get to the to Baton Rouge. My daughter has to work, and she get off different times, and we kids. Oh, and this is large around here. This is a Mardi Gras place, and it is not forgiven, Lord. Okay, devotion prayer. Dear God, the promise you have made for us, your hope for the future, I'm eagerly await the day Christ will return and rise us all into our glorious form, free from all infirmities, until then I will continue to abide in you. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lord, we're at the gas station and the people that pull up in the new cars. It's mighty hard time here. We're at the gas station.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda. It was kind of, like you said, hard to hear because of the noise and from the car next to yours. But I thank you for being faithful, and I thank you for the reading, the prayer that you read. And I just, you know, we just got to keep each other in prayer. You know, the Lord said we should be whole, no evil, you know, and we see it all around us, but we have to look unto Jesus, which is the author and the finisher of our faith, and behold his lovely face, behold his character, so that we can be changed. And, you know, we have to intervene and pray for others because, you know, if they don't change, they're going to be lost. And, you know, Jesus said, He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He doesn't wish anyone to die in a sinful state. So we got to pray for others. Thank you again for joining us, Sister Brenda. Is there anyone else? Please press 1. If you would like to share, this is time to share, brothers and sisters, before we go into prayer. Please press 1 so that I can open your line again. Happy Sabbath. Okay, I'll go to the next caller. 518-482, your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, my dear brothers and sisters. Sister Carla, this is the third time I'm pressing the line.
Oh, wow.
I don't know where.
Just noticed it. Thank you.
Yes, Sabbath is a happy day. And this evening I would like to speak about being cheerful. Being cheerful. When Christ was leaving his disciples, you know, he says to them in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of a good cheer, I have overcome the world. So God wants us here to be very cheerful. What were some of the most cheering words he said to them before he left us? What he says, and each of us should know this, it says that, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's John 14:1-3. And when we are serving the Lord, we should be in a very cheerful spirit. And you could find that in Psalms 102. It says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. So this evening, I'm here to give God praise and thanks. To sing, although I might not have such a wonderful voice, but I want you to listen to the words of my song when I started singing. The words of the song is what is important, not the voice. So singing is what we should do. Give God praise at all times. Because when we do that, we are serving the Lord. When we come before him, we must sing. And what is sown for the upright in heart? He says the light is sown for the righteous. That is in Psalms 97:11. And gladness for the upright in heart. So when we are upright in heart, we sown for others to see Jesus in us. And in Proverbs 17:22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit trieth the bones. And, you know, when I was working before I retired, I was always happy. I was always laughing all the time. Don't matter what happened, I would go about my work with a cheerful spirit. And my my patients would like that. They would like the way I'm, you know, I conduct myself with them, laughing and, you know, talking to them and encouraging them. And that was very helpful for them. When they see me, they feel happy. And what effect do is a cheerful words have upon the heart? What effect does this have on the heart? In Proverbs 12:25, it says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And we are blessed by God fill men's heart with gladness every day. Nevertheless, when Jesus left us with witness, he did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And that text is taken in Acts 14:7. Why and for what? May every child of God should rejoice. What is it that we should rejoice? And in Isaiah 61:10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So what, and again, what are Christians want to do? What are they want to do? We should not, in 1 Corinthians 10:10 it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So we should not murmur and complain. God does not like that. As a little girl was eating one day, she says, I have swallowed a spoonful of sunshine. That's what she told. She said, Mama, I have swallowed a spoonful of sunshine. This evening, I wish that all of us on this line will enjoy in the same beverage, swallow a spoonful of sunshine, so that we will be very happy, smiling, energetic Christians. And as people see us, we would look different. From the time they see us, people should just attach themselves to us because of the spirit that we give. In Luke 6:22-23, it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We remember when Peter and John was in prison, what happened? They were singing in prison, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. After receiving many stripes, their feet was fastened in stocks. Paul and Silas, what did they do in prison? They said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. When things don't go to suit you, my brothers and sisters, and the world seems upside down, don't waste your time in fretting, but drive away that from. Since life is so perplexing, this much the wisest plan, to bear all trials bravely and smile whenever you can. And I'm going to stop there. I will give you one more text to rejoice, that gives you cause to rejoice. In Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This evening, I like to sing. So, you know, I have to sing my song. And I'm going to sing this song. I hope that every one of us on this line tonight will enjoy it. There's sunshine in my soul today. And if you know this song, you could sing along with me. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is alive. Oh, the sunshine, bless the sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roam. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in our souls. There's music in our souls today, our carol to our King. And Jesus, listen here to me, the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine in my soul, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. And the last verse is, there's gladness in our souls today, and hope and praise and love. For blessings which he gave us now, for joy is laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there will be always sunshine in our souls. We would be always smiling. We would be happy Christians, and people would notice us before noticing our face looking very sour and sad. They would see a smiling Christian and would want to emulate you. So thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, for being on this line tonight. And as Christians, we ought to know that we should be always cheerful. And this is Sister Cancinelli from upstate New York. God bless all of you on this line that came here tonight. And may God keep us all cheerful throughout the hours, not only throughout the hours of this Sabbath, but throughout our life. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, indeed. Happy Sabbath, Sister Cancinelli. Thank you for the song. Thank you for the reading. And thank you for your presence to come on with brothers and sisters and share the love of God. There is sunshine in my soul today and each and every day. There should never be any clouds. And when clouds arise, we have to pray and ask God for help, for strength, so the sunshine can come back in and lift us and cheer us, by the way. Amen. Happy Sabbath again, Sister Cancinelli. Amen. I will go to the next caller. It's a very blessed Sabbath, brothers and sisters. We are nearing the end. We are nearing the Lord's soon return. We're in the end times, and he is soon to come. And we ought to be ready to meet our Lord, to meet our Savior. Okay? So I'll go to 631-552. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Hello. Happy Sabbath.
Yes. Amen. A little volume, please.
My phone is not that good. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, it's truly a blessing to be, you know. Thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Thank you, sir. God's and Ollie for sharing that wonderful message. And it's important how God is working through his people, especially in these closing scenes of our history. All that has been foretold in Matthew 24, we are seeing it right now. So it's an indication that the coming of the Lord is closer than ever before. But we have to give God thanks for his goodness. So I want to share this song by Laura Story. It's called In God's Full Blessing. We praise you, my God. We praise you, goodness. Come forth for family. Protection was me. The days of healing, very dear. We pray for your mother and disease or suffering. The Lord, the Lord, if he is broken. Yet the Lord will be too much to give us. Yes, it is. As one of the least comes healing just, one of the least comes sickness, one of the thousands of my power against me, my life. So what if trials of this life are in mercy for this life? We pray for his strength, he belongs to you. We call his anger and cannot see. We got your goodness, we got your love. As we tell your promises, and the world is not enough. The Lord, you are, he is destined. The Lord that we have faith to be.
God is your blessing comes to rejoice. What is your feeling comes to tears. What if a thousand sleepless nights are alive since you know your name? What if trials are confused? Are you merciful with me? He grants me treasures when darkness seems to remain. The pain reminds us this is not a home. But what if your blessing comes true and just? What if your feeling comes to fix? What if a thousand things that know that one takes to know? What if the greatest disappointment are the taking of this life? If you're feeling of the greater test, this world can't satisfy. And what if trials are confused? Are the angels strong? The heart is mine. Are your mercies infinite? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win me, the pain reminds his heart that this is not our home. What if the greatest disappointment by the taking of this life is the receiving of the greatest curse this world can understand? And what if trials are confused? Is the rain strong, heart is warm, all your mercies is gone.
Amen. Thank you for opening up my mind.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for that song. The Lord God is worthy to be praised with our prayer, with our songs, and we ought to praise him every chance we get. Okay, my screen has just went out, so, okay, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. Thank you again, Brother O'Neill. We'll continue to keep you in prayer and continue to seek the Lord that while he may be found for each and every one of us, and I will open the call for the last caller that has pressed one, and we'll go into prayer. 272-770. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Carla. God bless you.
Amen.
All. Happy Sabbath to all my precious, beloved brothers and sisters. And I just want to give the Lord praise and thanks and honor for a precious day. He takes care of everything for us. We don't have to worry because the Lord said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. So he's always with us. And I give him all the honor and praise and glory. Amen. I'd just like to sing a song, Standing on the Promises. Amen. Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the hollows of the dead are filled with sail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcome and dealing with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would just like to read a little scripture in the Bible, if I may. Psalms 121, verses 1 through 8. Amen. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, and he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with all my precious brothers and sisters, and I would like to leave a small prayer request to lift up every brother and sister tonight on the prayer line, and also for you too, Sister Carla, and your family. Praying for Sister Stephanie and KJ and Kaja, her children, and praying for Sister Powell. Also, I would like a special prayer for my mom and for Brother Eli and his family, for all my brothers and sisters, and for my husband. He will be having heart surgery for next month. My husband's name is Tony, so I would ask for healing prayer for him as well. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, and thank you for opening my line. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Love you all. God bless you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Sister Tamiko, for that song and just for your presence here also. And we will truly keep you and your husband. We'll lift him up in prayers. And we also, brothers and sisters, keep him in our personal prayer. We know the Lord is speaking to save each and every one of us. He doesn't want any to be lost or to, be left out of the kingdom. So it's up to us to repent and be converted so that our sins will be washed away. So I will do a word of prayer before I open the line for Brother Yudi. I just want to thank again my brothers and sisters for joining us this evening. Is high time. It's a happy day, happy Sabbath, and we are blessed to be living in the last days to proclaim the soon coming of the Lord, to be amongst 144,000. So let us continue to pray and be steadfast. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, it's truly, truly good to come before you in spirit and in truth. Oh, Father, to worship you as you are, Father. You are holy. You are righteous. You are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. There's no one like you. And we just thank you right now. We thank you for this opportunity to come boldly, Lord. Boldly we're coming to the throne of grace where we can find help in this time of need, oh, Lord. This is a great time of need that we're living in the last days, oh, Father. We see things all around us, oh, Father, the impending danger, Lord, in the lives of and those that are in other countries, even here, the United States, Lord, in the homes, oh, Father, there is danger all around us, Lord, and we come before you because you said that you will hide us under your pavilion. You said that you will keep us, O Father, as the apple of your eyes, and your promises are sure. They're true. They're not like man that you should lie, O Father. May we continue to stay steadfast and to be grounded in the truth, Lord. I lift up Brother Rick and his family before you. You know the desire of his heart to serve you. You know the desire of his heart to be saved and for his family, his children, to worship you, O Father, and to turn from their wicked ways, Lord, unrighteous ways, the ways of the world, the things of the world, that they will come out of the world, O Father, and repent, O Father, and to be broken, O Father, so that they can truly know that you love them because you are chastening them, Father. And those that you love, you will chasten, O Father, and that they will repent, O Father. I thank you for him. I thank you for his faithfulness and his perseverance to serve you and for others to know that he has been with you, O Lord. I praise you, O Father, and I thank you for Sister Powell. Continue to bless her. Continue to bless her ministry, her children, her grandchildren, and her ministry as a whole, O Father, in Jamaica and in the community, Lord. We thank you for her, her faithfulness, and her willingness, Lord, to serve you and to serve others, Lord. And that's what you have called us to do. Please continue to bless everyone that is that she's in contact with, Lord. You know her prayer requests, her desire to serve you and to be faithful. Also, Sister Leola, I thank you for her and her husband, O Lord. I thank you, O Father, for the work that they're doing, O Father, for the ministry, O Father, that she loves to tell people about your goodness, your coming back, and to share the word. She's not ashamed of the gospel, Lord. Please bless her mightily, Lord. Help her, Lord, her children, O Father, her grandchildren, her family as a whole, O Lord. I ask that you will intervene on the behalf of your family, O Lord, so that they can return to their first love, which is you, so that they can truly serve you, O Father, in spirit and in truth, Lord. Thank you for Sister Brenda. I thank you for her husband also and her daughter, her family, her grandchildren, those that she's in contact with, Lord. I ask that you will protect her and guide her as she was out picking up her daughter from work, O Lord. I ask that you will keep them, O Father. Please forgive them of their sins, their trespasses. Help them to keep their eyes upon you and to stay focused and to study to show themselves approved. Oh, Lord, you're coming back for your people, but you want us to be ready and prepare and know your coming is even at the door, Lord. Thank you ever so much for Sister Tymeka and her family, Lord. Thank you for her relentless work that she's doing on the phone with Brother Eli and those in her community, and she's taking time out to help others, Lord. May you help her also. May you bless her husband, Tony, I believe, that's going to have heart surgery. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon him. You said you want to take out the heart of stone and give us a true heart of flesh, oh, Father, a heart, oh, Father, to love you with all our hearts, to be converted, to be convicted, oh, Father, to follow you wheresoever you go, Lord. Help us to turn from our wicked ways, oh, Lord. Help us, oh, Lord, to keep our eyes upon heaven where our treasure is and not upon earth, oh, Father, where everything we can see and touch will burn, oh, Lord. Please have mercy upon Sister Tymeka and her family, her children, oh, Lord, her grandchildren, her community, those she's in contact with, Lord. Please save them according to your will, Lord, and bless them, O Father. Thank you for Sister Continelli, the work she's doing. Continue to bless her, her family in the nursing home, her niece family, Lord, and those in the community. And just we can hear the joy in her voice, O Father, and the patient that she has touched and those that she's still touching, O Father. We always have souls to touch and to reach, Lord. Bless Sister Continelli and her family, her husband, Lord, and fill them up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Also, Brother O'Neill, be with him in a special way in the work that you have for him. Please protect him and guide him, Lord. I pray that you will convict him of any wrong, O Father, and that he will be converted and he will continue to serve you and to be steadfast. Bless his children, O Father. Bless the mothers, O Lord. Bless those of his family, community, and the work, special work that he's doing, O Father. Please guide him, Lord. Please help him and strengthen him, O kind and loving Father. Be with Sister Katie, her son, Dominique, and his family, Lord, and also her friends and her community, Lord. Continue to supply her need, Lord. Continue to bless her, hear her plead, O Father. She comes to your ear, O Father, with her requests, O Lord. Answer them, Father, according to your will. Bless her, Lord. Strengthen her. Even Brother Yudi, be with the Tree of Life. Be with the Calvaire family and all those that are tied to the Tree of Life, the ministry, O Father, those that come in looking for healing, O Father, and you are what they need, O Father. You are the Savior that can heal their malady, and I thank you that they are rightly represented you there at the Tree of Life, Lord, pointing others to you, which is our great physician, our high priest, oh, Father. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. Bless them again. Please be with me, oh, Father. Strengthen me, Lord. You know my desire to be saved and to do the work and for my children to come out the city as I was reading the book Country Living, oh, Father. And we see that we're truly in the last days. We see the disaster that's going on. We see that it's going to get worse and worse. There's no going back to what it was, oh, Father. It's only destruction and disaster left and right, oh, Father. Please have mercy upon Amanda and Nicholas, oh, Lord. Press upon their heart to move out the city, oh, Father, and to come into the country upon the youth heart, oh, Father. Brother Eli, be with him and his prayer request, oh, Father, and press upon the hearts of the people, the young adults, oh, Father, to be converted, oh, Father. Speak to them in the language that they can understand so that they can know that they need to repent, oh, Father, and they need to search the scriptures, oh, Father. They need to seek you as never before so that they can be saved, Lord. Again, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify, we magnify your name, all unspoken prayer requests, everyone within the sight of my hearing. I ask that you will bless them in a marked way, that you will answer their prayer, Lord, that you will fill them, Lord, even now with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that your grace, Lord, you said is sufficient for us. Please bless those that are listening via the internet, Lord, and the rebroadcast, Father. Please hear their cry, hear their prayers as they come up to you, Father. And please have mercy upon them. Strengthen them, O Father. Give them wisdom and understanding because it's only coming from you, O Father. All good things coming from you, from the Father above, O Lord. And we thank you for not being a respecter of anyone, O Father. You love us all the same, Lord. There's no one better than the other, Lord. We are all the same in your eyes. And we just thank you for being faithful, for being holy. And we want to be holy like you because without holiness, no one can enter heaven. We thank you. We glorify. We magnify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving and honor. Amen. Amen. Now, go ahead and open the line for Brother Yudi. Happy Sabbath, Brother Yudi. Your line is now open. Can you hear me, Brother Yudi? Okay, I'll pray a song before he comes on. I'll just pray a quick song before he comes on. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will now open the line for Brother Yudi. Amen. Happy Sabbath, Brother Yudi. Your line is now open.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. And a blessed
Amen.
Evening to you all. How many do we have right now online on this evening?
Let me see. You usually give me a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 with myself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 11 souls listening. I'm unable to reach the through the internet because I'm on my phone here. The reason why I was asking is because I just had an idea. I believe starting next Friday night, Sister Carla, we can begin to have our prayer line broadcast on the prayer line as well as our Zoom so that we can begin to see one another as well. We had been talking about that for quite some time, but I believe that somehow we will figure out a way to have our meeting on Zoom. That way we can be, it's more personable, and we can begin to meet together. We will create a Zoom for the prayer line, the Advent Light, and we'll still have the prayer line running as well, but we can do both. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we are living and we are seeing dire events happening. And these events are telltale signs that the coming of Christ is near. Amen. And tonight, the reason why I also was asking is because I want everyone to participate. We have been seeing what has been taking place in Ukraine, and these things are not happening by happenstance, or they are not things that are just happening because there is some sort of a mistake or an accident, but these are calculated and wise plans that has put into effect by the enemy of all souls. The Bible tells us in the spirit of prophecy that Satan delights in what? In wars. And so there are about 324 churches that are housed in the Ukraine, and these are Adventist churches. And there's about 34 churches in Russia, Adventist churches. And so these people, regardless of how they got where they are, regardless of who's wrong, regardless of who's behind it, that's not the issue. The issue is the fact that there are individuals who have awakened to missiles bludgeoning our homes, who have their homes, who have awakened to gunshots, who do not have any peace. And we in the United States of America at this time, we are not listening to, we are not hearing gunshots outside of our house, outside of our houses. We are not hearing grenades and so on and so forth. And so we still have units, we still have some peace, and also we still have the freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our mind. But we know that the time is coming when this will not be so. Our message entitled for tonight is "For Such a Time as This, the History of the World Foretold." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come in your presence asking for thine Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to grant us grace and mercy, and to open up our eyes that we might see. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Carla, this forum tonight is going to be more of a question and answer type of forum. I want the line to participate as we study together. Sister Carla, can you hear me?
Yes, Yes, I can hear you.
Amen. And you will be moderating, and we will be studying together. So I want the line to participate. So everyone, take yourself off of the host key. What I mean by that is push one if you've already shared. And I believe the host also has the ability to unclick someone who's on one. And then we will be speaking together. I need some readers. I need some people who can go and find statements from the spirit of prophecy as we begin to study together. We're going to read in Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, chapter 21, and Sister Carla, we're going to read beginning at verse number 25. Luke 21, beginning at verse 25, and let's begin at verse 20. Luke 21, beginning at verse 20. Luke 21, beginning at verse 20. We will begin in Luke 21 and verse 20. It reads, first verse, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compass with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Verse 21, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Have mercy. These be the days of what? Vengeance. That all things which are written may be what? Fulfilled. We're going to stop there. I'm going to read a commentary about the scenes here that is being depicted in Luke chapter 21, verse 20 from the Spirit of Prophecy. It reads this: after speaking of the end of the world, Jesus comes back to Jerusalem, the city then sitting in pride and arrogance, and saying, I sit a queen and shall see no sorrow. As his prophetic eye rested upon Jerusalem, he sees that as she was given up to destruction, the world will be given up to its doom. Have mercy. The scenes that transpired at the destruction of Jerusalem will be repeated at the great and terrible day of the Lord, but in a more fearful manner. In a more fearful manner. We're going to cross-reference with the book Education, page 228, paragraph 2. Can someone read from the book Education, page 228, paragraph 2?
Okay, I'll open the lines. I don't know if anyone has the book Education available.
Well, if they have the if they have the Spirit of Prophecy, they can simply type ED under search. Just put ED, page 228. And the way you search.
Thank you very much.
Gone up.
Yeah. All right. This is the caller. If no one has it, I will read it.
Okay.
Is that the best way forward?
Yes, go ahead. I haven't brought
it
up yet.
All right. Yes. So the way we search, you just go to your search bar and then type in ED228.2, and it should directly take you to the quotation if you have a Spirit of Prophecy app application, which all of us should have. Anyways, it says this. At the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law, not only divine, but human. The centralizing of wealth and power, the vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of many. The combinations of the poor classes for the defense of their interests and claims. The spirit of unrest, of riot and bloodshed, the worldwide dissemination of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution are all tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. So what this tells us, my beloved, is that the centralizing of wealth and power, anarchy, and the spirit of unrest and of riot and of bloodshed, and the worldwide dissemination of the same teachings that led to the French Revolution are all tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. We need to ask ourselves, what happened during the French Revolution that caused so much a stir that the servant of the Lord would write that the very same spirit that caused the revolution in France, the very spirit of unrest, the spirit of riot, the spirit of what? Bloodshed kind of a spirit would now tend to the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. I want to open up for commentary or questions at this time as we continue to study commentary or question regarding the statement and what is happening across the world today.
Amen. I'm going to open a few lines. Please, again, mute your line if you don't have a question or comment. I'll open your line if you have any comments or questions that you can state it.
And by the way, you know.
Does anyone have a comment or question? Okay.
All right. Let us move on. We're
going
to go to Isaiah
moment.
Chapter 6. All right.
Just a, Brother O'Neill, did you raise your hand?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, we can
so
hear you. Take a little off.
You said, it says, what happened in the French Revolution was the same principle that we are seeing now. The human laws try to override the law of God. And we see that the centralization of the wealth, we see a lot of murders from many of the white establishment. They are coming together more so that they can have majority of the world, so they can dictate. And as we see how the leaders of the world are putting things in place to set up their one world system, as the Hegelian dialect says, the ends justify the means. So they create the conflict, then they come with the resolution. And we see what is going on now is what prophecy and the Bible has foretold that will happen in the last days. If we check for the past 2 years what the Bible says in Matthew 24 about what will happen, and we see all is happening within all that's happened rapidly for over the past 2 years. Wars and rumors of war, pestilence, famine. Just the other day I was reading an article and it says since 2002 there's a decline in food supply and a lot of people are, more people, about 40-30% more people are suffering from famine. So we see the time that we're living in is truly the time of the end.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for the commentary. So we are looking at the spirit of unrest. The spirit of what? Unrest. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 57. The call of Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to note in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21, we see the spirit of unrest. Isaiah chapter 57, verses
Amen.
20 and 21.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 and 21 reads, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose water casts up myrrh and dirt. There is no peace, said my God, to the wicked."
Amen. So we begin to see a factor here that the wicked are being compared as the troubled sea. Right? If you think about the sea is continually moving. There is a continual wave movement. Up and down, up and down. So the ocean does not rest. But the Bible says that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up what? Mire in. And then it says, there's no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. Now, this spirit of unrest, my friends, the spirit of unrest also is found in Christian communities or in Christian hearts too. Notice what the Bible says regarding the spirit of unrest in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. The spirit of unrest, James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. We were told that there would be the spirit of unrest and of riot and of bloodshed.
You looking for a reader? James chapter 1?
Yes. Yes. Verses 6 through 8.
6 through 8. Okay, I open a couple lines, brothers and sisters. Please, if you would like to participate, go ahead and read or press 1 if your line is not open so that I can open it.
It is
so
time
that, yes,
to participate, my beloved brothers and sisters. We have to participate so we can come together and study this. We know we have to have a spirit of the Berean. You know, sometimes we want to just hear people preach to us, but we don't want to help out and do the work for ourselves. Let me tell you something. Christ does not save in groups. He's an individual God, and we must know him for ourselves individually. So please participate because the time is short. The more readers we get, the quicker we can get through the lesson tonight.
Go ahead, Brother Rick. 518-744,
okay.
The line is open.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. So James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
So again, we see in verse number 8, a similar that we found in Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21, we see a double-minded man also being, notice the word, unstable. That word unstable is the word for, it's the same word for someone who cannot rest. So notice that the spirit of unrest does not only permeate the world, but the spirit of unrest also permeates the church. All right? Because in James, the first chapter, James is not talking about the world. Right? Because he says in verse 6, if any man, verse 5, I beg your pardon, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But it says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith. So the world is not, James would not be admonishing the world to ask in faith, right? But rather, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But James is admonishing the church now in verse number 8, and he is basically saying that the church, when they do not have faith in the word of God, when they do not exercise faith in what God says, they are acting as a double-minded man that is unstable. Now, the ocean, in Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21, the ocean is what? Unstable. The Bible says the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest. So there is instability. And here, the Bible says that if our minds are not imbued with the word of God, if we are not walking in faith, then we also are counted as unstable individuals that also cannot rest. All right? Now we're going back to our quotation from the book Education, page 228. Ellen White writes this, at the same time, anarchy is seeking to sweep away all law. Not only divine, but human. So notice that Satan in the last days is going to seek to sweep away all laws. All right? Sweep away not only human laws, but sweep away the laws of what? The laws of God. So Then she continues. She says, the centralizing of wealth and power. So notice that one of the ways Satan will seek to sweep away all law is by centralizing wealth and power. What does that mean? Let's go to the book of James chapter 5. We want to read her, James chapter 5, and you can write in your Bibles right here in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, 1 through 6. You're going to write the centralizing of wealth and power right here in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Sister Carla, someone else, or the same person, if you may read for us James 5, verses 1 through 6. We are studying what is happening even at this time.
Okay, so that was James 5, verses 1 through 6. Is that the one? Yes, okay. Go now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is tainted, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you.
Now, how do we know the Lord is talking about the last day? Let's look at verse 7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. So notice what is happening in James chapter 5, verses 1. The Bible says in verse 2 that the rich men, beginning at verse 1, the rich men, this is the centralizing of wealth and power. The rich men, he's saying they are to weep. They are to weep. They are to howl for the miseries that shall come upon them, because it says in verse 2, their riches are corrupted. Their garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. Let's see, what is the understanding of your garments are moth-eaten? Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 13, verse 28. Job, chapter 13. Job 13, verse 28. Job chapter 13. Can someone read Job 13, verse 28?
Amen.
Again, Lord,
Job,
we pray for understanding.
Amen. Job chapter 13, verse 28 reads, And he as a rotten thing consume it as a garment that is malt-eaten.
Wow. Read that again. Wow. Read that again now. What does it say about being rotten?
Amen. Job chapter 13, verse 28, and it said, and he as a rotten thing consume it as a garment that is malt-eaten. Wow.
So according to the Bible, those whose garments are moth-eaten, will be what? Consume as a rotten thing. Now, interestingly enough, the Lord tells us to put our treasure where? Where moth and rust cannot eat, right? So these riches that are being centralized in the last days, according to the word of God, these things are corrupted. And the gold, according to verse 3, the Bible says the gold and the silver is cankered.
and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. And notice what Christ says that brings it to the last days, that brings it to 2022, February 2022. It says, you have heaped treasures together for the last day. Behold the hire. Who's the hire? Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of armies. That's what that word means, the Lord of armies. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton. You have nourished your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you. And then the Lord gives the admonition to us now. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Now, I want to make this commentary here. I want to read this commentary in the Spirit of Prophecy regarding this passage. At the same time, anarchy is seeking to do away with all law. Not only divine, but human. The centralizing of wealth and power. Do we have any evidence today that wealth and power is being centralized? What are the evidences that we have?
Yes, the rich is getting richer and the poor is getting
poorer.
Okay,
very good. Very good. Do we have any evidences that the vast combinations for the enriching of the few at the expense of many? What are the evidences that we have that a few is being enriched at the expense of many?
Okay, I got some hands up. Just a moment. Sister Leola.
Amen. Amen.
Well,
amen.
Go ahead.
All I could say is I see that when the rich work the poor people, and it's more gain. So we see how the rich is getting richer by the hands of the poor people. Work the poor people for less, and they, you know, that's how it is. It's about greed.
That's true. The combinations of the poor. So what are the evidence? That's very good. Because the richer, for example, let's make it practical. Let's look at Walmart, for example, right? Walmart is a multi-billion dollar establishment.
Right.
You understand each Walmart in your locale, in your locality, they are making millions of dollars a day, all right? And these stores are not only, making money in these local stores, but also online, right? So there's a monopoly with Walmart, with stores like Amazon. In fact, the supply chain broken right now because of Amazon, because they are monopolizing. And Walmart, if you understand United States the laws of economics, they have laws that prevent one business to monopolize. In other words, they don't want one business to be the only one that is basically offering no other competition. So what do? All you have to do as a businessman is to open up another business under a different name, even though it's the same individual. For example, what is the other counter store to Walmart, if you think about it? You have Walmart, you have BJ's, and what's the other one?
You call it a market.
place, the market. Costco.
It's actually owned by Walmart. You know that?
It's actually owned by Walmart.
So it's a monopoly. So what we are seeing here is what Sister White wrote a long time ago. She said that there would be a centralizing of wealth and power. To centralize something is to basically bring it to one locality or one, bring it to one person. And then she says that the enriching of the few would happen at the expense of many. In other words, many little people would be working towards enriching the few. Back to Walmart again. So this company that is making billions and trillions of dollars a year, they're only paying their workers how much per hour? Just a few dollars. Just a few dollars. Some of them 13. Some of them are paying 12, some 15. But regardless, the enriching of the few is happening at the expense of many. Some of these individuals do not even have insurance. Okay? Some of these individuals do not even have insurance. While the heads of Walmart, the individuals with power, are multi-billionaires, right? So again, we can see the book Education 228 and James chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, actually coming true. Now, let's see the other part of this. It says, the spirit of unrest and of riot and of bloodshed. So give us an example of what we see today that fits this prophetic excerpt that shows that we are living in a time where there is a spirit of unrest, right down there is a spirit of riot, and a spirit of bloodshed. What are the examples that we see today that highlights the spirit of unrest, the spirit of riot, and the spirit of bloodshed? And then we will simultaneously go to the Bible to see this thing as well as it was prophesied in the Word of God in Matthew chapter 24.
Those that are in the truckers in Canada that are protesting? Yes.
Yes. So they're very good examples, Sister Carla. So what are these protesters protesting about? And did you guys know that Canada has frozen the assets? This is some serious stuff, my brothers and sisters. Canada, this is happening too close to home. This is why I tell people, and I'm telling people again, the Lord keep reminding me. Pretty very soon, very, very soon, my beloved brothers and sisters, these things are going to hit the United States of America. When Canada is freezing the assets of individuals who are protesting, do you understand what that means? There was a young lady, I think, that donated $20 to some of the truckers who were protesting against the vaccine. They didn't want to take the vaccine, which is their individual right. Okay, and this young lady donated $20, and whatever media platform, social media platform that they saw that this young lady donated this money. Do you know what the Canadian government did to this young lady who donated $20 to the truckers who were protesting? Do you know what the Canadian government did? Can anybody take a wild guess of what the Canadian government did? Huh?
Freeze her account?
They froze her account.
Yeah.
In other words, they froze her money. This is not a rich person. So she is unable to use any of her money in order to buy or sell. Does that sound familiar? So this is what we are saying, is that pretty soon we will not have the opportunity to spend our money that we have. And I will read the statement from Ellen White, because she says that now is the time for us to utilize our money and put it into the work of the Lord. When this is happening in Canada, and they are getting ready to declare martial law, as this crisis is happening, guess what happened? The food prices are going up. I've been telling you guys this over and over, and you guys are not paying attention. And this war that you now have in the Ukraine, when Russia is bludgeoning, and by the way, it may not even be Russia doing it. We don't really know who's behind this war. What we do know is that Ukraine is a almost 95% Roman Catholic nation. Listen to me carefully. And in Ukraine, there's about 450 Adventist churches. In Moscow, Russia, there's about 36 Adventist churches. Now, this war is happening because what they're trying to do is bring about a new world order. Now, let me tell you some facts that you did not know. Russia is the second producer in the whole world of natural gas. Ukraine is the number fourth producer in the whole world of natural gas. Okay? So what are they trying to accomplish? This is a war that is happening over money, over funds, over assets. But here's what this war is going to do. As you are in your home today, as I am in my home today with heat coming, peace, I don't hear any gunshots outside of my door. There are individuals who woke up this morning and there are rockets and missiles flying over their homes. Their cities and their homes, their places that they live, is up in smoke. It's in a blaze. Is this going to come to a theater near us? Yes. Canada is getting ready to declare martial law. They are freezing the assets of individuals who do not want to go along with what the government says. And the government says, take the vaccine or not. The government says you either take the vaccine or we freeze your assets. Freedom of conscience is under attack, okay? And I'm going to show you what Ellen White says regarding freedom of conscience. And when we see it under attack, what we must do as Seventh-day Adventist individuals. Listen to me carefully. I want to read this quotation for you. I want to read this quotation for you, brothers and sisters. I want to read this quotation for you, and I want you to mark this quotation and never forget. Because what is getting ready to happen, the Lord keeps warning us, and we keep saying, oh, no, 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 we have time. And beloved brothers and sisters, we have no time. We have no time. If Satan knows that he has but a short time, why do we keep thinking that we have time? This is no time to play. This is time for us to put all of our investments into the work of the Lord. Because pretty soon, our assets will be frozen. Are you listening to me, my friends? This crisis you see happening in Ukraine is the final setting up of what they've been wanting for a long time, and it's going to happen here. If there is one wrong move that is made, and Satan, we are told, delights in war, the United States of America will end up in another war, this time Russia. And let me tell you something, when the U.S. and Russia get into a war together, it will not be pretty, because you're going to have a nuclear war. You're going to have a nuclear war on your hands. And Russia
Okay, you cannot listen to what the mainstream media is telling you about what this war is about. You have the context of prophecy to understand that what is taking place right now has been prophesied in Education page 228. She says the spirit of unrest and of riot and of bloodshed, right? She says the worldwide dissemination of the same teaching that led to the French Revolution are all tending to involve the whole world in a struggle similar to that which convulsed France. This is a struggle that the whole world will be involved in. This is the beginning stages of the end, my friends. Europe has not been in a war like this since World War II, since the 1950s. This is unprecedented territory, and it has nothing to do with who's in power. These things have been planned, and Satan is by and by laying out order to bring about the final movement, which we are told will be rapid ones. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I want to read her. Before you go to Matthew chapter 24, let me read this quote for you. This is found in the book Manuscript Releases, First Manuscript Releases, page 35, paragraph 6. First Manuscript Releases, page 35, paragraph 6. First Manuscript Releases, First Manuscript Releases, page 35, paragraph 6. Notice what it says. It says, time is short. Time is short. And I wish to see the money of our people that is tied up in banks put into circulation where it can help the work of God. So why did the prophet write this statement? Go back to this young lady now who in Canada. Now, you got people that have to understand why Canada is significant to the United States. This is our neighbor. These things are happening to our neighbors. Now, this is not happening in Russia, happening to our neighbor. Canada is the neighbor of the United States of America. Our neighbors are freezing the assets of individuals who does not want to go along with the government policies. That is telling us this is too close to home. It is just a matter of time before individuals who do not want to go along with the governmental policies of the United States of America, that their assets will also be frozen. Because the servant of the Lord says that our assets should not be tied up in banks. But where should it be? It should be placed into the collation where it can help the work of God. Because God knows that it's just a matter of time before these things are worth nothing. Go on to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, notice what the Bible says. I wish we had more time. Matthew 24, I want a reader to read Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 6, and we're going to end at verse 8. Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8. Matthew 24, verse 8.
Hello?
Verse 6 through 8.
Hello?
Go ahead, O'Neill. Yes, go ahead and read. Thank you.
It said, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Have mercy.
All I
these
share something.
Are the beginning of sorrows. Yes,
I want to share something about the beauty. From the same book, Manuscript Release, page 175, paragraph 1897, paragraph 35. It says, you see the threatening of the elements in religious world to restrict religious liberty by exalting human laws above the divine law, making them take the place of the divine enactment, and making the laws of God of little account, subject to change by the will of human judgment. They have made void the law of God, and unless restrained, they will make human laws oppressive.
Mm. That's right. So human laws will be oppressive, right? Is this oppressive that your account is frozen because you made a donation to some truckers who are protesting, and as a result of their protest, they do not have funds or money to eat? And so someone donates to their cause. Someone donates, not really to their cause, but to them. And as a result, humans freezes their accounts. This is what's happening in Canada, my friends. And if the government, the United States government, if they had it their way, they would be going through the same thing. Thank God we have three branches of government here in the U.S. You have the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and you have the executive branch, right? So if this country did not have this balance, which we are told that soon this balance of power will be of no effect, then we would be in near trouble. Troublous times, my friends, is coming upon us. I want to read this quotation and verse and Last Day Events, page 45, paragraph 3. Last Day Events, page 45, paragraph 3. It says, in a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and as light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning, perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. So Seventh-day Adventists have been what? Set in the world as what? Number one, as watchmen. Write down, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, so I should be a watchman. What is a watchman? Let's go to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. I want to hear some other readers, my beloved brothers and sisters. You guys have to participate. Go to Ezekiel 33. Verse, let's read verse 7. Ezekiel 33, verse 7 and 8.
This is Salil, and my line is open.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Okay. I'm Ezekiel 33, verse 3.
We're going to read verse 7 and 8. 7 and 8.
Okay. Salil. Okay. If when he sees the sword coming up on the land. And
No. Verse 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, 7, 8, 9. Okay. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and when and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Verse 9. Nevertheless,
yes,
if thou warn the wicked of his ways to turn from it, if he do not turn from his ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
Amen. So what does the Lord says here? He says he has set us as what? As
watchmen.
Watchmen. He has set us as watchmen. Now, here's the issue. The watchmen have to give a certain sound in order to prepare the people for battle. All right, let's have another reader. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8. We have another reader, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. Quickly.
Okay, I opened a couple more lines. Anyone would like to read? If not, please keep your line muted.
First Corinthians 14, verse 8.
First Corinthians 14. Just saying. Oh. One I should press. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?
All right. Thank you. So the watchman had in his hand a trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And at the sight of danger, that watchman would blow the trumpet and would
mm-hmm.
give the trumpet a certain
sound.
Right? Would give the trumpet a certain sound. Isaiah 58, verses 1 and 2 says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice as a
trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sin. So this trumpet that needed it to be sounded was none other than the watchman's trumpet. Now, Ellen White writes, in last day events, Seventh-day Adventist has been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. So what is the last warning for a perishing world? It continues. We're going to see what the watchman is supposed to sound. On them is shining wonderful light from the word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn importance, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angel's message. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. Have you allowed anything else to absorb your attention other than the giving of the first, the second, and the third angel's message? Because if that's the case, you're not a Seventh-day Adventist. You might be a member of the church, but you're not an Adventist. Because Seventh-day Adventists are proclaiming the world is going to come to an end. And if we truly believe the world is going to come to an end, we're not going to buy expensive furniture. If we truly believe the world's going to come to an end, we're not going to do expensive renovations in our homes. If we truly believe the world's going to come to an end, we're not going to live as if we have another 100 years. But if we believe the world's going to come to an end, we are going to give the trumpet a certain sound. And it is not just by mouth that we do it, but we also are giving this message with our goods, with the things that we have, by giving that which we have into the work of the Lord, by giving this message to the world. So Seventh-day Adventists have a duty, and it is not a light matter. I'm going to read this quote commentary from Acts of the Apostles, page 360. I will continue with this message by God's grace next time. Acts of the Apostles, page 360 and 361, it says, a warning of the watchman. It says, to every minister the Lord declares, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die, but his blood I will require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked in his way to turn from it, thou hast delivered thy soul. Does God have pleasure in the death of the wicked? The answer is no.
No.
No. No, he does not. But God desires for the wicked to repent. He required for the wicked to repent. So as Seventh-day Adventists, as we see what is happening across the world, as we see what is happening in Canada and what is soon to happen here in the United States of America, let us agonize in prayer. Let us ask the Lord, what will thou have me to do? Let's spend some moment in prayer. Asking the Lord, what are we to do? And I, like I said, next week we're going to try a different form on Zoom. We will send each person on here, Sister Carla, if you can. Somehow we need to get a list of all of the prayer line callers and write them down. And we're going to have a Zoom meeting. And every individual that is on the line will get the Zoom code, so you can join. We can look at each other and see each other as we are talking live in person. Okay. Now, if you don't have a Zoom, I request that you get one account, because we're going to need to join on this Zoom account next week. So right now, my friends, keep the world in prayer. Things are happening very fast. This thing can bring an end of all things. We know that Christ is looking with burning desire for the manifestation of himself in the church. Therefore, when his character is perfectly reproduced in his people, then will he come to claim us as his own. What are you doing to hasten the second coming? Satan is hastening because he knows that he has but a short time. But what are we doing? What are we doing? We need to pray, my friends. We need to spend time with the Lord. We are busy at the Tree of Life. Testimonials are endless of what the Lord is doing. My friends, we have just begun to produce our own line of herbs and tinctures with the Tree of Life logo on it. And this thing is going to hit the world by storm. And so we have already produced a sugar, those who are addicted to sugar, a brand that can help to fight sugar, brand that can help to fight constipation. We also have a pain brand that we're working on. We're working on a heavy metal detox cleanse brand, a cancer brand, all of that. I will be posting after Sabbath our next venture, because we're beginning to make our own medicines now. And these things are not just cheap. They're made and they're bottled and they are sealed. All right? They are sealed. And it's not, you know, I'm working with another naturopathic doctor, Adventist naturopathic doctor, who is helping me to bring these things about. And I'm excited to show what we have been doing and the work that we are doing here in Arkansas. My friends, this thing is getting ready to blow up, because the third angel's message is given through the right hand of the gospel. The right hand of the gospel. My friends, things are getting ready to hit the fan. Listen to me, my friends. What we are trying to set up here in Arkansas is a vessel for people to come. You know, the Ark, there are people who said that in Arkansas, the Lord had shown that this was the place for individuals to be. It's called the Ark. Arkansas is called the Ark. Because in the Ozark, when you study the Ozark, look up the Ozarks. This is an optimal place to be in a time of trouble. This is a place to be where we can do certain things that we cannot do anywhere else in Tennessee and all these other places. So the Lord has opened up the door. We actually went to a church last Sabbath. We were invited. My first time there, they had me speak. And this is a Present Truth Church. And they were talking. I preached a similar message to what I'm preaching now. Elder took us to his home after Sabbath. He has 82 acres. And he says, the wife says, I saw you guys had a camp meeting in upstate New York. This is in Missouri, about an hour away from Arkansas where I live, because we're on the border. And she said, I knew Moses Mason. I was very close with Moses Mason, the dad was. And this elder is from Bermuda, and he's telling me about his stories, and he's the first elder at the Adventist Church. And he invited us over his home, and we had a beautiful fellowship. And the elder says, my brother, we can utilize our place to have a camp meeting whenever you want. So we have the property now for the camp meeting. In fact, we have two properties, because I also met another lady from that same church. Let me give you a testimony, my brothers and sisters, before we close. I was at the church preaching, Sister Carla, last Sabbath, two Sabbaths ago. My wife and I and Brother Mozart, we decided we're going to go visit the church in Missouri. It's called Willow Church, Willow SDA. And that church is about an hour. When we got there, one of the elders recognized our picture. He said, aren't you that guy on Facebook who's always posting about the Tree of Life? And and I said, yeah. He said, do you mind doing the afternoon program for us? This is my first time in this church. I said, why not? Sure, I'll do it. And guess what? I did a health message on the afternoon, similar to what I'm talking now. And I show how God's people will have to come together in the last days to raise their own food. As the Lord is my witness, as I was speaking, there was this woman who was looking at me like she was going to fall off her chair. She's a widow. She's in her 60s. Her name is Mary. Mary Bedini. And I said, we are looking for property in order to bring about a sanitarium in this area where we live. We are looking for property in order to farm. And after I finished, the woman come up to me. How much land do you need? I have 52 acres. I said, well, whatever you want to give. So this woman runs a farm called Maranatha Farms, and she raises cattle. I posted about it on Facebook. I didn't explain all these things because I'm not going to get into details yet. She raises cattle, all kinds of. She has a greenhouse. She has everything. She has everything at that, and she's by herself. Her husband died, and she says, I need help. Brother O'Neill, she said, I need help. She said, is anyone is willing to come that you know? She said, I need help right now. She said, I'm going to kill myself. I'm the only worker in this farm. And she's producing all organic fruits and vegetables and everything. She said, I'm the only one. She said, I need help badly. She said, can you bring people to come and help me? I need a full-time gardener on this property, 52 acres. And the lady said, how much do you need? And she said, you know, she said, I can give you 5 acres of that property. And I said, praise God. Praise God. So this woman gave us 5 acres. She's currently working everything out. And she said, I cannot wait. She said, I have not heard an Adventist message like this in 30 years. She's a faithful lady. She has a bus at the house that is furnished, a bus, a school bus that has 4 beds in it, has a kitchen in it, everything. And she's also given us an RV where we can house people. And she says we can bring, mobile homes on the property and house whoever needs to be housed. And this is in the middle of the country, perfect place. And she also says that we can have a camp meeting if we need on her property. So I'm asking you guys to come down to Arkansas and see what's happening. You have to be at the Tree of Life. You know, Brother Udi is not here often. Like I said, I'm so busy. I am not neglecting. We are so busy dealing with individuals, you know, visiting people, dealing with cancer, dealing with people with diabetes. And now the Lord is beginning to provide these things. When you do his work, he is faithful. The woman got up as I was preaching and came up and says, I got 52 acres. How much land do you need? How much do you need? And she wants to have a sanitarium on her property. And this lady is a widow, and she has no children. Hello? You guys understanding what I'm saying here? She's a widow, and she has no children. She's looking for a who can carry about the work after she passes. So keep us in prayer. We will continue. We are going everywhere. We are visiting churches after churches. We are meeting people that are sick, people that are with diabetes. They're coming to the store, and they're asking, how do I get healed? My friends, we need help. We need help. And we cannot discuss financial matters tonight at Sabbath, but I can give you these testimonials. The Lord is beginning to make inroads for us here in Arkansas. And so this is no time. The individuals in the city will have to leave. The Lord is still buying us time. Leave the city. Leave the city. New York is not a place for people to inhabit anymore. Leave New York. The North, we have to leave these areas. We have to leave these areas. We have to come to places where there's still a little bit of freedom. We know eventually that will be done away with, but this is where we are at today. So we are, and guess, let me tell you another thing as I close. So the elder also who I went to his house last Sabbath with 82 acres, he has a huge building where he has big, pretty much everything inside of this building. He built it 10 years ago in anticipation of what was coming. And he took us in that building, and I was amazed to see. His granddaughter is 25 years old. Her name is Sister Anika. She said, brother, she came to the store. We were so busy that she was eating. She got up to come and do dishes and to help us. She said, I am convinced and I am convicted. She said, I was so excited when I was there. She said, I have a group of young people. She said, I have a group of young people that I'm training. I would like to propose that we use the Tree of Life as the training ground. So now we are in the early stages of talking about how to bring all these young people to the Tree of Life to be trained on medical missionary as well as on the health food ministry. So what do we need now? We need housing because these young people are coming from other places. We need to house them. We don't have we need to house. I've been talking about these things for a very long time, and I've been saying since I was in New York that it was time for Advent Light to transition from a phone ministry to doing what? Practical work. Now is the time. We need people that's going to help us build housing, that's going to help us build housing to house boys and girls who want to come and train. We the place where I'm talking about where she's given us this land, 5 acres is a lot of land. It's a lot of land. We need to clear the grounds, and we need to begin to build homes where people can come and inhabit. And Sister Mary is not opposed. She said, we will start with 5. We'll see how it goes. We will give you more as you need. Brothers and sisters, we have everything we need right here where we are. The ground is fertile. The weather is mild. The weather is mild. And the people are open for the truth of God's word. Is there such a person tonight that is willing their money into the work of the Lord? Because he's waiting. And he will pass us by because he will have a people that will do it. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us, any of us. The Lord will get his work done. Romans 9:26 says he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. And a short work he will do upon the earth. You know, I haven't met with you in a while, but these are just some of the testimonies of what's been happening. You have no idea what is happening here. You would have to come and see. You would have to come and see. Sister Deborah is coming in April to visit from New York. We got a lot of other brothers and sisters. Our house is open. Pretty soon we're going to move out of where we are, and we're going to go to this country place. We're going to stay in an RV, but we are looking to build a home there. We don't know how to do it. We're just asking the Lord to help us. We need a home. We're going to build a chapel. We're going to build a media center. We're going to build a small greenhouse where we can actually begin to work. And Sister Mary has many, 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 many square feet of food that she is growing, and her farm will produce. Let me tell you, her farm will supply the Tree of Life with produce, she says, by the summer. And she's looking for hands. She's looking for workers. What are you doing, my friends? Come out of the city. The Lord has already put a prepared place for us right here. We are going to have our next camp meeting by the summer in Missouri. We're going to have it. We're going to start to plan. We're going to talk about these things because time is short. Time is short. And what we have to do it quickly. 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 Let us close with a few prayers, Sister Carla.
Amen, amen. I have a couple of lines open. If you would like to pray, go ahead, please.
Or questions. And
okay. Yes.
And even a meeting that we can set up after Sabbath, we can set up a meeting maybe on Saturday night to discuss these things that we cannot discuss now in the Sabbath. But these are just testimonials of what the Lord is doing on this side.
She's getting a lot of help up there. Yeah. Do you have need for missionaries?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have need of medical missionaries. We have need of workers. We have need of also farmers. Because, my friends, the reason why we were given the country living message is to prepare our own food and build our characters.
Yeah,
We have need of help.
If I got to unmute and press 1 if I want to talk. I read this now. I read the scripture.
We can hear you.
Sister Consonelli, we can hear you. Your line is open now.
Sorry.
I told you.
Sorry. I wasn't saying anything.
Oh, no, I just opened the line to see if anyone has questions or comments.
Oh.
Yes. No questions or comments? Okay.
No. I think it was a wonderful line.
Mute your line. I hung it up.
Okay, let me mute.
Amen. Go ahead, Brother Yudi. Anyone else? Sister Tamika, Sister Leola, Brother Rick, your line is open. Okay, no comments or questions at this time.
I know there is comments or questions. We are at the precipice of the end times. We are at the precipice of the end times. And God's people need to realize what is happening. They need to move. We have to move quickly. We have to move quickly.
I have a friend that's farming, so you know, I guess I'll have to get them in touch with you or with the lady that, you know, yes, that does.
Yes, get them in touch with me. Get them in touch with me because, you know, she wants me to vet them first to make sure that there is no, that they are in sync with doctrine. And she's a very straightforward. She believes in the spirit of prophecy. She believes in the third angel's message. She believes in the medical missionary work, and she is very skeptical because she's been hurt before. And this woman is looking, she's looking for help, and we cannot give her the help because we're busy on our side as it relates to, the farm. This woman is ready to hand over the farm to whomever wants to help. And this is the work that many of us have been praying for. And there are, sometimes we see with our eyes, and not by faith. And so we look at money, we look at things, and we don't see the blessing that the Lord is going to pour out with those that are faithful. And just the 7 months that I have not worked, I have received so many blessings that I would never receive if I was working and just working with the world system. You know, who would have thought that the Lord would have given us a property? Sometimes we want to say, oh, I don't have the money. And the Lord is working, my friends. I'm telling you, beloved brothers and sisters, if you do the Lord's work, he will take care of you. He will take care of you. God is faithful. He is faithful. And we can speak from experience. He's taking care of us. He's taking care of our bills. We are not rich. We still have struggles. But every month, he's taking care of our bills. You know, there are things that we still want to finish and pay off, things that we have, but we know he will do that as well. God is a faithful God. And as we begin to do his work, as we invest in his work, he will show himself strong on our behalf.
Amen. Okay. You gonna pray to close, Brother Yudi?
Well, I'm asking for a few prayers, and then I will close out.
Okay. Brother Rick, your line is open. I don't know if you're in a position to pray. Amen.
I am. Yes. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we've been listening to Brother Yudi's testimony here, Lord. Father, we know you are moving in a mighty way upon our hearts. Oh, Father, may we stand up and be counted for your kingdom, O Lord. Give us a spirit of faith where there is fear, Lord. Give us a spirit of charity, Lord, as you have given us much. And Lord, you are calling us to give back now. Lord, you not only call us to give back, you say when we give back, you will bless us beyond anything that we can ask or imagine, Lord. And Father, we need that blessing because this world is to end soon. Lord, we want to be ready. Lord, we want to help others to prepare to be ready also, Lord. So, Lord, may we not... may we not dismiss this call that you have given us tonight, Lord. To Brother Yudi and his family and all those working at the Tree of Life, Lord. I just do ask for your blessing upon them, and Lord, they are making many contacts for you. So Lord, bless their labors, bless those who they have contacted, Lord, that you would bring them into your fold, dear Lord. Father, this prayer line, may it go from a prayer line to, as Brother Yudi said, something that will be, we can do practical work, Lord, not just talk, not just pray on the line, Lord, but actually do something for the people out there who are dying each day, Lord, without the knowledge of you. Oh, Father, forgive us for being fearful, for trying to hang on to what you have given us, Lord. Because in the end, if we try to hang on to it, as the scriptures have told us, we'll lose it all. Lord, you said, what shall a man gain if he has the whole world, but he loses his own soul? So, Lord, we want to keep our souls for your kingdom, dear Lord. We want to be in that earth made new. And Father, our families also, we just lift them up to you. Guide us and bless us this night on this on the Sabbath day, Lord. May it be the first Sabbath of many where we have given all to you, dear Lord. We praise you, Lord, for being so patient with us, for understanding, for guiding, for being merciful and gracious. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Kind and loving Father, as we linger a little longer, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we get to come together to praise you, to study, to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. We thank you for the provision that you have made for us, oh Father. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom and direction. Please help us, oh Father, as you're gathering your people to come together and to be unified and to finish the work, oh Father. Please help us to submit to your will. Help us to seek you while you are near. Please forgive us of our sins or trespasses, O Lord. We thank you for the provision of the Tree of Life. We thank you for the many ministry, O Father, and the work that's going on all over the world, especially in Arkansas and the Missouri area, O Father, as you're opening doors and you have lands already prepared for your people. You're just waiting on them to make that decision to come out of the city and come out of the secular world and to do thy will and to help to cultivate the land and to win souls for you while doing this, O Father. Please have mercy upon us. Please help us, O Lord. Speak to us, O Father, and in the language that we can understand, in the way that we can understand that this is your plan for us and this is what you want us to be doing at this moment, because tomorrow is not promised, O Father. We know we're in the last days, O Father, and you're soon to come, and we know the destruction that's coming down upon the earth, O Father. But you said you will hide us under your pavilion, that you will protect us and you will keep us and you will guide us, Lord, with your eyes. Please, Lord, help us, strengthen us, and help us to be encouraged, Lord, this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And, Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the words that were said. We pray that, Lord, our hearts would fall in line with these words, and that, Lord, we would not go back, because you said in your word that if we build again that which we have destroyed, then we make ourselves a transgressor. And if we say and have promised and we go back, you said we are not of them that go back, but of them that move on, that continues to build. You said in your word, Lord, to move, to continually, to not look back. We know what happened to Lot's wife, who looked back at her circumstances, who looked back at her riches and honor, dear Father, and she became a pillar of salt. Have mercy, dear God.
Mercy.
Help us to look forward, O Lord, as Moses looked ahead. The Bible says,
yes,
Moses, when he came to years, he did not. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Help us to look forward to the work that you would have us to do, Lord. Help us to leave the secular world alone. Help us, dear Father, to those of us who need to retire, to retire now. You said, remember now the Lord in the days of thy youth. Some of us, Lord, are waiting until our energy has been spent, until we say, Lord, we will serve you. But, Lord, let us say, as Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in the serving of the Lord, there has to be soul winning. In the serving of the Lord, we must deny self. In the serving of the Lord, we must give in and give up that which we have. For we are told in Desire of Ages that the law of self-service is the law of self-destruction. And the law of self-sacrifice is the law of self-preservation. Help us to self-sacrifice in order to preserve that which we have. Heaven's law is different than earthly law. The earthly laws say, preserve what you have, preserve what you have, and you will have more. But I've read in the Spirit of Prophecy that the reason why we give is in order to increase our capacity to receive.
Amen.
Oh, have mercy, Lord Jesus. In other words, when we hold on to what we have, we are blocking our capacity to receive. But when we give, we are increasing our capacity to receive. Oh, Lord, give us wisdom. Help us to understand the laws of heaven and not the laws of the earth. And let us walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. I pray that you will have a good night and happy Sabbath, and hope to hear you back on the prayer line Sunday evening and also Thursday. May the Lord truly bless you, and may you be filled with his Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, good night.
My way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, if it will, my